As I sat in my study this morning, I looked out the window to the reserve behind our place, and what a beautiful morning it is. And I just had to say, what a privilege to be born in New Zealand. What a privilege, a blessing to be born into a Christian family that taught me about God and about His love. And we are so privileged to live in this country and have the and enjoy the blessings that we can enjoy. And then sometime later on, as I was thinking about that, I just wondered if I could put into your mind this morning, maybe if you were waking up in, say, India today, that you mightn't have that same picture. What if you were born or trafficked to India, and today was a day when you were going to have to sell your body to make a little bit of money to live? What if you're in Doolian and one of those children that are going to be rolling cigarettes for a little bit of income? How blessed we are to be in this country. That wasn't in my notes. It was just a little bit of what I was thinking about this morning as I was getting ready to come. So today, we're going to do our last week of Renew Together, where we particularly focus on Baptist missionaries and we pray for them and we deny ourselves and give. So I've entitled my what I'm going to share with you today, just a little phrase out of the words that Jesus said when he gave the commission, and he said, "I am with you always." And I think we can really take hold of that and hang on to it, particularly as we think about what we're going to talk about today. So I want to talk about prayer and self-denial. It's now called Renew Together. Some of us are old creatures of habit and we find it hard to change. I love the phrase prayer and self-denial, so that's what I'm going to talk about today. And the text is from the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, and it's verses 16 to 20, so let's read it together. "Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Let's just pray, shall we? Father, thank you that we can spend this time together to be in your presence, to worship you, the God of heaven. Thank you for the blessings that we enjoy. And we really just want to set our minds today for those that don't enjoy the same blessings that we enjoy. And we just really want to lift up our Baptist missionaries overseas, that they can take the message that you have given, the message of freedom, of forgiveness, of love and compassion, and share it with those people today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing I want to talk about is the word prayer, obviously, and about praying. So that's going to be our next slide. Hopefully it'll come up. There we go. And just, you'll notice, just to add a little bit of colour, we did a missions expo last Saturday at Upper Hutt, and we printed out a number of photographs from the Impact magazine. I'll tell you a little bit about that later. The photographs are out on a pin board out in the foyer for you to have a look at, but I've just popped a few of them in my presentation today for you to have a little bit of look at. And this one's particularly talking about the fact that there are many, many thousands of people in the world that have no access to clean water. So let's carry on. Now, as I've been thinking about what I should share with you this morning, the old name for Renew Together has been going over and over in my mind. Prayer and self-denial. Prayer and self-denial. And if I tell you the truth of why this phrase is repeating over and over in my mind, it is probably that God is convicting me that I have given little time or thought to either of these. How about you? Have you researched any of the Baptist missionaries to find out what they are doing? Have you found out what their prayer needs are so that you can pray specifically for them? I'm sure you want God to bless them. I'm sure you want God to protect them. You want God to use them to see people set free. Have you spent time asking God to do that for them over the last 3 weeks? So I want to look at some of the Bible characters to see the importance of prayer. You will remember the prophet Elijah. He is God's messenger to the people of Israel during the reign of King Ahab. In the first book of Kings, chapter 16, we read that King Ahab had done more to make God angry than any other king before him. Ahab established shrines for the people of Israel to worship foreign gods rather than leading them to worship the one true God. So God brought punishment upon Ahab and the Israelite nation through the prophet Elijah. This punishment came in the form of a drought that lasted for 3.5 years. In the book of James, chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, we read this about Elijah's prayer. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. James says, Elijah was as human as we are, to show that the powerful prayer can come from everyday people like you and me. But there is something that must be in place for this to happen. And James tells us what that is in verse 16, just the verse before. And it says this, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. In this verse, I believe James is saying that if we want to see answers to our prayers, then we need to be right with God and with other people. James reinforces this by saying in the second half of the verse, the earnest prayer of a righteous person, remember that, a righteous person, has great power and produces wonderful results, which is exactly what happened for Elijah. Isn't that what we want for our Baptist missionaries? To see our prayers for them have great power and produce wonderful results? If we had time, we could look at the prayers of many of the great Old Testament and New Testament Bible characters. Abraham, Moses, Hezekiah, incredible prayer. Nehemiah, an amazing prayer. Hannah, remember her prayers. David and Paul, and many others. But I want to finish looking at a prayer by reading a parable of, looking at prayer by reading a parable of Jesus from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. And this is what it says. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman with her constant is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? Jesus taught that prayer should be persistent. James referred to earnest prayer. If we expect God to answer our prayer, we need to come with clean lives made right with God and be earnest and persistent in what we are asking for. This is what we want for our own lives, and it applies in the same way as we pray for others. As we pray for our Baptist missionaries, our prayers need to contain the same passion as they have, to see people freed from the impacts of sin, whatever form that sin takes, whether that sin is of their own making or the awfulness of sin that ungodly people may be committing against them. Peter reminds us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that Jesus is not slow about coming, about his promise to return to the world. Peter says the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Jesus is waiting for us to get on with the job that he gave us in Matthew chapter 28. For those of us who have stayed in New Zealand, part of our job is to pray for those who have gone. We need to pray earnestly and persistently that those who have gone will provide people with the opportunity to repent and know freedom while God waits. That brings me to the second point, which is self-denial. So before I start to challenge you about self-denial, I just want to say that the offering raised for the Doolian building upgrade by this church was amazing. And for those of you that don't know, we raised $135,000 as a church to help the completion of a building in India in Doolian, which is part of the Joya businesses. So I don't want you to think that I'm suggesting that we as a church family are not generous. However, I think it is appropriate to challenge our ongoing generosity. I want you to think about what genuine self-denial might look like for you. I know this will be different for each person, depending on your circumstances. Jesus spoke to his disciples about self-denial in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 26. So let's read those. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Before sharing these words, Jesus had just tried to explain to his disciples that he would soon suffer terrible things at the hands of the religious leaders. He would be killed by them, but on the third day he would rise again. Peter takes Jesus aside and says, don't talk like this. This will never happen. But Jesus rebukes Peter and says, get away from me, Satan. It is then that Jesus speaks about the cost of following him. Jesus is saying that he is prepared to die for his disciples, and they in turn must be prepared to die if they want to follow him. The other option Jesus gives them is to ignore him and try to gain the whole world for themselves. But it comes at a great cost, the cost of their soul. This is the definition of self-denial, choosing to follow Jesus no matter what the cost is. Investing your life and your resources with God, or choosing to take a risk on yourself. Remember when Jesus spoke about making investments in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, and he said this: "Don't store up treasure here on earth where moths eat and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasure in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." And the key to where you make a wise investment is found in verse 21. "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be." In Luke chapter 6, verses 38 and verse 38, Jesus says this: "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back." We see Jesus honouring and blessing those who gave. Jesus honoured the widow who gave all she had into the temple collection. Jesus forgave the sins of the immoral woman who poured expensive perfume on his feet. Jesus gave salvation to the household of Zacchaeus when he confessed his wrongdoing and promised to put it right. Our Baptist missionaries have responded to God's call to go overseas. They have put aside pursuing a career in life in New Zealand. They have given much, and God will give back to them in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over and poured into their lap. And one of the ways God gives back to them is through what we give now. Fortunately, what God gives them does not rely on what we give, otherwise it could be really tough for them, couldn't it? Sometimes we don't give as much as we could or should. If you look at what you have given or plan to give today in the pledge, has it cost you to give? Have you denied yourself to give? If as Jesus says, the amount you give determines the amount you get back, are you expecting God to give you much back? Remember the famous words of David as he was about to make that sacrifice to God when he said, "I will not give to God something that costs me nothing." And lastly, I want to come to opposition. Back in Matthew 28, in the verses before Jesus gives the disciples the commission to go into all the world with the gospel, we see the scene as it unfolds at the empty tomb. A magnificent angel has come and rolled back the stone. In response, the soldiers are lying like dead men on the ground. The angel declares, "He is not here. Jesus is risen." Then the angel tells the woman who have come early to the tomb, "Go tell the disciples to go to Galilee. Jesus will meet them there." The soldiers' lives are at risk. They're on the line for the disappearance of Jesus, whose body they were to guard. The religious leaders realize that they have a huge problem. What if the news of the resurrection of Jesus gets out? What do they look like then? So they come up with a lie. They will tell the people that the disciples of Jesus stole his body while the soldiers slept. And at that moment, the opposition to the truth of the resurrection of Jesus began. It is interesting in verse 15 where Matthew says their story spread widely among the Jews and they still tell it today. And we would add that the same lie continues to be told even until today. This is the lie of many religions that refuse to accept that Jesus is the only true Son of God. Jesus, who lived on earth as a man, was crucified, died and was buried, who rose to life the third day and is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. In John chapter 15, verses 18 to 21, Jesus says, "If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me." There is great opposition to the message of the Bible. Those who reject the existence and knowledge of God oppose the one who oppose those who want to share the blessings and forgiveness that comes from God. Opposition is front and center for many of our missionaries overseas. We often think of the Apostle Paul as being a strong and confident missionary, someone who could face opposition face on, someone who was bold when sharing the gospel. But that's not actually the case. Paul often came under attack from the religious leaders, from people outside the church, and sadly, sometimes from people within the church. The Apostle Paul asked various groups of Christians to pray for him, particularly in the face of opposition. Romans chapter 15, verses 30 and 31 read like this: "Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to join in my struggle by praying to God for me. Do this because of your love for me, given to you by the Holy Spirit. Pray that I will be rescued from those in Judea who refuse to obey God. Pray also that the believers there will be willing to accept the donation I am taking to Jerusalem." Paul shared that at times he was struggling and that he needed to be rescued from the attacks of ungodly people. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Paul requests prayer to say the right words and that he might have boldness. "And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should." The Apostle Paul, who wrote many of the books of the New Testament, requested prayer to say the right words and to be bold as he spoke. Our Baptist missionaries highly value our prayers and financial support for them as they seek to be the voice and hands of Jesus in the communities where God has placed them, to say the right words and to be bold in the face of opposition. Jesus gave these incredible comforting words at the end of his instruction to go into all the world with the gospel. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That includes us. Live in the knowledge and power that Jesus is always with you. Pray and give for his glory. Now, I just want to end by a couple of slides here, and one is to sort of introduce you, if you're not familiar, if we can go to the next slide, to the Aratahi. Aratahi is now the new name for the New Zealand Baptist Missionary Society. And so that's the link to the website. It does work, John, if you wanted to take us there, but that's fine. If you go to that website, scroll down to the bottom of the page, and you'll see just below Aratahi there is a link to the newsletter. Now, I encourage you to go on and sign up to the newsletter, because every week you will get in your inbox the Aratahi newsletter, and it has all the prayer items and all the information about what's happening with Baptist Mission Society for the week. Really worthwhile, so I encourage you to do that. And then the next slide I've got is the link to Joya. So I encourage you to also look at Joya. Now, Joya, for those that might remember Freeset, it's the new name for the old Freeset. Part of what they do is they put together a fantastic little publication called Impact Report. There's some of those out on one of the desks out there. You're most welcome to take them. And those are where the various pictures that were in my slides came from. A lot of information about what Joya are doing in India. A fantastic read. So I just want to finish my time here. And I didn't bring it up. Oh, yes, I did. Here's what you'll find in the Aratahi newsletter, which is prayer requests. So for various people who are serving God in New Zealand and overseas, there is that prayer request. So what I wanted to do, just in closing out today, is to be very specific in our prayer and pray for Joel and Lizzie. Joel and Lizzie are a young couple that work in one of the Joya businesses in India. And they've got two little children, and they have asked that we would pray for them. And this is what they say: we are back in our South Asian home and are settling into life here again. Thank you for your love and prayers. Please pray for our daughter Lydia, that she will adjust well to being back in this environment. I don't know if any of you have been to India. It's a noisy environment. It's a crazy environment. So they want us to pray that their little daughter will fit back into that environment. Please also pray for us as we move into a different unit, not far away, that is a bit quieter for our two young ones. Pray that we can make the new space feel like home for all of us. And you just imagine a young Christian couple raising their children in a different country, a noisy country, and trying to make their family grow in that environment. So let's just close by this section by praying for Joel and Lizzie. God, we want to thank you for Joel and Lizzie. Thank you that they responded to your call to go to India to serve you, to make a difference in the lives of the people who have almost nothing, who sometimes have to sell their body for a small income. Lord, thank you that they were willing to take a message of freedom and forgiveness to these people. We pray your blessing on them and their young family. We pray for their little daughter Lydia, that she will really fit back into that environment. And we pray for their new apartment that they're moving into, that will be a real home for them, where they can find your peace and encouragement in that place. Bless them, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.